Ezekiel 37. You got it? Say amen. The Bible says in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit. It's important when we read, especially texts like this, we go to the book of Revelation, and remember, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, to understand that what they are seeing is not actually happening, but it is a vision. It is a revelation from God. There is a message, but in the Spirit, in the spiritual teaching of God, they are seeing all the things that they describe, and as if it's happening in real time. The Lord, it was in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. Now, when we say valley, what do we think of? How many of you have ever had the valleys of life, right? Those low spots, way down low. And that's what we're describing here is the bottom. The valley is the bottom. And God takes Ezekiel in the Spirit, and he takes him to this place, and he's able to look up, maybe see a mountain or a high land, and look up. And so he's down in the bottom. He's at rock bottom. That is the picture that God is painting for us. And it was full of bones. What a grim picture. It reminds me of some haunted film, you know, some scary show. And here he is. And of course, in my mind, as I see this place where Ezekiel is, it's light, but the sun is not shining. The light is coming over the mountain. And so it's lit, but it's dim. He didn't say that. I said that. But the picture that he's painting is he's at rock bottom. There's a bunch of dead, dry bones everywhere in this valley. And I don't know about you, but that's not very inspiring. And he caused me to pass by, verse 2, round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. So not just dry bones, lots of dry bones, lots of dead people. And lo, they were very dry. They'd been dead a long time. So the indication here is death. Been dead a long time, very many, very dry. And so it's not very inspiring. It's kind of grim. It's kind of depressing as Ezekiel finds himself in this vision, in the Spirit where God has brought him. And it says, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, ordinarily, what would our answer be? No, of course not. But he's not there by himself. He's in the presence of God. And he says, well, you know, Lord, thou knowest. And so the question or the point where we are, we have to, again, define where we are. We are at the bottom in the valley of dry bones, lots of dry bones, lots of deadness, lots of death, hopelessness. That's the picture. Whatever hope was there is gone. Whatever life was there is gone. Whatever future there might have been is gone. Hopelessness. And you don't raise your hand on this, but just think. How many of us have ever found ourselves in a hopeless state? But I remind you, you've survived every day so far. Even when we didn't think we would, we did. Verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. So he's telling us to speak in a hopeless situation. To speak prophecy. The word prophesy, what does that mean? It means to deliver God's message. Simply, that's what it means. To deliver God's message. Prophesy, and who are you going to preach to? A bunch of dead, dry bones. At least there were a bunch of them, so it wasn't a small crowd. Right? They would preach to a bunch of people. Big congregation, they were just dead. That's all dried up. And I have to admit, I've been there. I've been to that church before. I heard a preacher say one time, y'all are dead and just don't have the respect to fall over and show us. Anyway, he says, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Breath. How many of you know God's name? How many? And when we were in Israel, the tour guide said to us that you may see written in some places, but not in Israel very much, the name Yahweh. He said, but we don't spell it with vowels. We just spell it Y-H-W-H. And that what it is, if you look at it and you say it, it is to inspire and expire, to breathe in and to breathe out. But the reason that the Jews don't put vowels in it is because they're afraid that maybe somewhere along the way, the vowels were mixed up and they've been replaced. And so they don't want to say God's name the wrong way. So they just don't say his name. And they don't say Yahweh. But that is to breathe in and to breathe out. And that is, you know, the expression, the inspiration, the breath. You shall have breath. You shall live. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you. And the sinews are the fibrous structures that connect the muscle to the bone. So what do we have in the beginning? We have a valley. We have bones, dry bones. And so what goes on the bones? The sinews. And what goes on the sinews? The flesh. And what goes on the flesh? The skin. And we say, well, we say skin is flesh. He doesn't. He's talking about muscles and then skin. So we start with just dry bones. The question is this. God asked this question of Ezekiel up in verse number 3. Can we find revival? Can there be such a thing as resurrection from such deadness? Can that which is lost be recovered? Can that which was be restored? And that's a big message, isn't it? But here's what he's telling us. Yes, but there's a process. You see that? He gave us steps, didn't he? He said, first you got the deadness, the dry bones. And then we take another step, sinews. And then we take another step, flesh. And then we take another step, skin. And by the way, when you have all of those, what do you have? You still have a dead body, don't you? See, so there's a process in each step. And so he gives them that process. Guys, recovery is not immediate. I used to say a lot, and I guess I've not said it in a while, but if you cut yourself, or if, let's say you cut me, Brother Henry, and I can say, I forgive you, and you can say, I'm sorry, but my hand would still be cut. And so I could apply the antiseptic, and I could apply the ointment, and I could apply a bandage, and it'll still take time to heal. In fact, when it's completely healed, there may still be a scar. There may still be a mark where I was injured. And so though I've forgiven you and you apologize for doing it, there's still a memory, there's still a mark that says we were there. But the main thing is there's a process. Forgiveness also has a process. Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to dead bones. He prophesied. That's you saying you're sorry. That's me saying I forgive you. The words have been spoken. But now we got to get some sinews on it. Now we got to get some flesh on that. And then we got to get some skin on that. And it takes time. I know that as we read chapter 37 and the illustration, the vision that God gives to Ezekiel is immediate. It still has steps, but it's not a long, drawn-out process like forgiveness is. And I'm sure if you're like I am, there have been times and people in your life that have challenged your ability to forgive. And maybe even convinced you that you could hold a grudge. But the Bible says, if we forgive not our brothers their trespasses, neither will God forgive us of ours. Well, look, God's looking at my forgiveness. And when I say to God, I'm sorry, he says, yeah, so was that guy. But you didn't forgive him. God's paid quite a price for my forgiveness. It's not something I should take for granted. So we've got a bunch of dead bodies, don't we? Finally, in verse 6, he says, and put breath in you. Guys, we got lives. Maybe they're not hopeless. Maybe they're not in the valley of dry bones. Maybe they've got the snooze and the flesh and the skin, and they look like they got everything they need. But there's one thing that's missing. Inspiration. There's one thing that's missing. The Holy Spirit of God. Adam. God made Adam on the sixth day, didn't he? Made Adam on the sixth day. And used his own hands. Isn't that incredible? God used his own hands. And he took the clay of the earth and he made a man. And I know a lot of women that wish they could do that. But God did. He made a man. But that man was, he is a dead body. He didn't have any life. Never had any life. Just laying there. And then the Bible says, and God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Life. He brought life into Adam, and he could bring life into us. Guys, there are a lot of people running around, but they've got one part of them that's never been turned on, and that's that spiritual part. Jesus said, they must be born of water. We were born of water. The water broke, and we were born, but he says, and of spirit. We need to be born again, born through Jesus Christ, born by God, in a spiritual sense, by faith in Christ. And we got to have breath. We got to have inspiration. It's a process that begins deep within. And look, and then how did he do it? He started deep within and he worked his way out. Isn't that how salvation is? Isn't that the Christian life? Man, we get saved. We get saved, but on the outside, do we look saved? Maybe not the next day. Maybe not the next week. Maybe not the next month, but we're getting in the Word. We're talking to God. Excuse me. Spending time with God's people. Spending time in God's service. We're loving people. We're trying to be godly. We're trying to be like Jesus. And so what happens is it starts deep on the inside and it works its way to the outside until finally somebody says, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? I can see Jesus in you. I can see the light of God in you. I can see heaven in your life. Those are the things that, but it's got to start deep within and work its way out. Guys, it's a process. And we need to be patient with ourselves. And we need to be patient with others. Give people time to grow in Christ. Paul talked in the New Testament about a certain church, and he said, I'm trying to give you the meat of the Word, but y'all are still looking for the milk. Y'all are still wanting something that's not, you don't have to chew on, and it's easy to take in. But he says, I'm trying to give you the meat of the Word. And then he says this in verse 6, he said, ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And others will see that in us too. Verse 7, what did Ezekiel do? He said, boy, I got to see this. I got to see if I say it, if it'll happen. You see that? Let me ask you a question. How about when God said in the book of Malachi, prove me, try me, test me, see if my way works. Let me tell you something. I just want to test God. I want to see if it really can happen the way God says it can happen. And let me assure you, it can, and it does. But we got to try it. We've got to apply it. Verse 7, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, just delivering God's message, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Isn't that a picture that you'd like to imagine? And when I beheld, verse 8, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath. They still needed inspiration. We need to be giving people that inspiration. We need to be showing them Jesus, giving them the Word of God. Give them that inspiration. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Again, hey, let's see if this works. That should be really where we are with God. God tells us to do something, say, well, I want to see it. I want to see it happen. What is it he said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I want to see if God can reach through our home and touch everybody that's in there. And get all of them saved. So I prophesied as he commanded me, verse 10. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood up. Amen. That's a church, isn't it? That's a church. Not only did they get the breath, but they got up on their feet, as God's people should. And it says they were a great, exceeding great army. That's revival right there. What a picture that God gives to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, through his obedience, he goes and he delivers God's message to those who had no hope. Their future was lost. Their lives were over. They'd been hopeless a long time. But God says, you tell them there's hope. You give them hope. We have those three words on the side of our building, hope, love, and forgiveness. And I figured out a long time ago that those are the three things everybody needs to thrive in life. Not just to live, but to really thrive, to really fulfill God's call in our lives, to really feel that we're doing what God would have us to do. First, we need forgiveness for our past, because as long as we're dragging it around, it's going to drag us down. We need forgiveness. We need love. We need to know that we're being loved right now. Yes, it's important that we're loved by others, but mostly to know that the God of heaven, the God of all creation, loves me. And then that final thing, and I'll tell you something, when you lose hope, you lose everything. These dead bodies needed hope. And God says, Ezekiel, give it to them. You tell them they're going to live. And how does that come into play? Look at verse 11. God says to him, verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, hold on just a second. Israel was still alive. Israel was still, you know, there. Jews were alive. But he says their hope's gone. Look, but they've lost their hope. Our hope is lost. Our bones are dried. They weren't dead, but deep on the inside, they felt dead. There are people today who would take that verse and they would say, I can relate to that. That's me. I feel like I'm dead. I feel like I've lost love. I've lost connection. I've lost faith. I've lost hope. I'm just dead deep on the inside. I might look okay on the outside. I might look like I'm alive, but it's gone. He says they've lost their hope. And they say we are cut off for our parts. We're just disconnected, if you will. Specifically, it's regarding Israel. But understand something, revival is possible. New life is possible. Restoration is possible. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, he's talking about Israel now, not these bones in the vision anymore. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. And performed it. You see, it's going to take God to get it right. Our hope is in Him. Others are counting on us to deliver God's message. To what? To prophesy. To give them God's message. They're counting on us. Suicide rates are up. More homes are broken today than ever in the history of our country. And isn't it tragic to know that in light of those circumstances, churches are closing. Pastors are quitting. Christians are laying out of church and giving up on church and they're not participating. But guys, we're the ones that are supposed to take the hope and the light into the world. And how's that going to happen if we don't do it? I can tell you, it's not going to. We can't count on anybody else to do it. We've got to do it. They're counting on us to give them hope and to show them the way of new life in the Lord. Hey, this is inspiring to me to know that I can recover, to know that I can be restored, that I can be revived. But it's also important for me to take that to others. Let's take that out when we leave tonight. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and pray that you will draw us to you, that you'll forgive our sins, that you'll restore our hope, that you'll bring us out of the graves, of the deadness, of our hopelessness, of our discouragement, of our distress, of our worry. For those that have received the news from the doctor that there is an end, God, we already knew there was an end. So help us not to give up on this life until its time is up. God, that we'd keep our hope in you, that we'll stay faithful to you, and that we'll share the message of Jesus Christ and salvation in him each and every day and everywhere we can. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.